quest to find beauty right where you are. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Hello, hello, hello.
Boy, have we missed you guys, I gotta say.
We've
been missing recording. We've been thinking about the podcast a lot, and there's a very good reason why we've been away. We have been in flu land for
the
last 2 weeks, and it's been awful.
I sound really bad.
Yeah, Kendra is still recovering. I think I'm the only one in the family that didn't get it.
Go knock on
at
wood.
At this point, I know, seriously, here's the end table here. Knock on that. Oh, man. So... We apologize ahead of time for the scratchy vocals here, but...
I will do my best.
I think we've got some good stuff to talk about, you know.
We do.
So,
But we've heard that people would say, if your spouse isn't on board, don't even think about homeschooling. What would you say to that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a legitimate concern. We've even met other homeschooling couples that, it's usually the wife is the one that's, trying to do the homeschooling and maybe the husband isn't on board. And I would even say that was kind of our story a little bit, at least at the beginning stages, because...
Oh, you and me, yeah.
Because even though I was raised as a homeschooler, for the first 10 years of my life or whatever, I still was a little bit hesitant about it because it's such a change for the family, and it can be difficult to... I guess, get into a rhythm on it.
I think you were mostly concerned about me.
Yes,
I think
concerned.
You were mostly concerned about like how taxing it might be on me.
Yeah. And also how it would look, it looked so different for us because growing up, it was essentially, we did school at home. We had workbooks. We had, we weren't really doing, things like you're doing things. So for me, when you would talk about it and tell me your vision for it, I was like, wow, that doesn't sound anything like what we did,
Right.
It sounded
maybe a little more involved.
Yeah. And it was hard for me to get a vision for it. But, one of the things that I think really helped get me on board early on was you took me to a homeschooling conference.
I sound really bossy.
No, but I mean, you invited me, okay. I should say. You invited me, to the homeschooling conference.
It was
up there.
Super tiny. It was
a small one. Yeah.
At the time, we were in a community that there wasn't a lot of homeschoolers. So it was like the only one in our area. And it was so... So perfect, though.
But you know what was weird? Even though it was small, it was really good.
The
quality of speakers that they brought in for that was phenomenal. Like I think
it's just because homeschoolers are phenomenal. That's the takeaway there.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. But I mean, I was really blown away by the level of speakers that they had, the content that they were talking about. They had like all these tables set up as well, where you could walk around and kind of check out some of the other curriculums. But just more, it was the people and the ideology behind it. What we're all there to achieve. And it was so cool how they communicated that vision and goal. And it really like opened my eyes to, oh, wow, there's a whole nother world out there that's different from how I was raised. And it's great. There's so many good resources for parents, so many great curriculums out there like that you can, attack it from all different kinds of options. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped open my eyes and get me on board.
It was like a shared experience that we could talk about together.
Totally.
Yep. And it was really small, you guys. It was only two... speakers. It was like a large group that we heard, and there was probably like less than 100 people there.
I was going to say less than 100 for sure.
And then there was like a breakout session, and so we got to hear somebody in a smaller group setting for that. But both of them were just so great. And we were not even homeschooling yet. Our kids were in preschool.
Yeah, we were still kind of kicking it around.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you were pretty interested in getting it going, but it was like, well, how do we even do this? Like, where do we start? And I didn't know what to expect, because you came out of education. You were
a certified teacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, she knows how to teach, but this is very different,
Well, let me talk about that a little bit, because it's interesting that you're talking about my vision and where it's kind of gone. Because to be truthful, it started out as kind of us doing school at home as well, because I decided to homeschool before I even had kids. And here's why. I was working with a lot of homeschooled kids that were teenagers at the time. And they were so incredible. They were able to talk to me as an adult. They were hard workers. They were very responsible. They were only 16, they're 16, 17. I think the oldest might have been 18 or 19, freshman in college. So anyway, that was my first experience. And I just thought, oh my gosh, these people are so great. And here, the tie for all of these people was that they were homeschooled. I just happened to work with a bunch of them at this children's museum. So I decided then that I wanted to homeschool, and I was pregnant with my very first baby. So that was kind of a weird thing. But I had just come out of a public school as a teacher. And so my experience there kind of shaped some of that, I think, as well. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be, I think is a safe thing to say. And the more I've homeschooled, the more I've realized that a lot of teachers are homeschooling their kids now. Because we kind of have an inside scoop. We kind of see like how it's actually going down. And so sometimes that brings people out, and sometimes it makes it people want to try harder, and they stay, you know, stick with it, and you know, still advocate for the kids and everything. But a lot has changed. You know, kids are just not the main focus anymore. It became more about paperwork and
testing
was huge. Proving
how the kids are improving year over year, so you can get that the funding.
I think we forgot that the kids were people. So what I love about homeschooling is that, you know, we remember that kids are people. And they're, you know, it's not about what do you want to be when you grow up, because they already are living their life. This is their life. And so I'm not trying to prepare them for something down the road. I'm trying to just let them enjoy and learn right where they're at and what they're doing now.
That's, I feel like that's kind of all part of that finding beautiful here, is like, you know, where you're at right now in life is it's where you are. You know, it sounds silly to say, but we're always so future focused, and especially in school. But yeah, that's one thing that I loved about that homeschooling conference, is that they talked a lot about that. You know, it's like building your base where you're at, you know, and,
Well, we might look different. I think one of the things we always talk about is we might, as homeschoolers, might look different than public school kids. When they're young. But the difference shows as they grow older. You know, our kids at a young age might still be playing with Barbies. He talked about, like, that was his line. You know, they might still be playing with Barbies when they're eight, which is maybe not something that a public school 8-year old would be
even interested in.
But as they grow older, the difference will show through. You know, because I think it comes down to, we're giving them the time that they need to grow at the pace that they need to grow at. So they're not maybe 8 years old and doing multiplication facts in your homeschool. And maybe they are. Some people are really advanced. But the point is that you're allowing them to do it if they're ready for it. You know, if they're working ahead of grade level, quote unquote, or behind, like, it doesn't even matter, because they're just working at the pace that works best for them. So I'm going to bring this full circle and say, when what I tried to do at first was school at home. And so I found these blogs. I didn't know that that's what I was doing, but I found these blogs, and I thought that was the model. You know, these blogs that I found that were homeschooling their kids. It was like, print off these 50 worksheets and make this color wheel and have them match it to the... And I found myself making a lot of little things. This was the preschool years, in order for them to learn this special skill. And I got wore out. And my kids at the end, when I was like done making this awesome whatever it was, didn't even like it. You know, didn't even do it.
Didn't respond to
Didn't respond at all. And I thought, what in the world? And so I remember thinking back to like when I was a teacher, and whoever is doing the most work is the one who is learning. And so I thought, I'm doing more work than they are here. I'm the one that's making all these, you know, cutting out all these, whatever it was. And I was doing more work than they were. And they were not the ones that were learning it. So, and then another story I have that I always think is funny is, you know, I was putting together all of these sensory bins. How many people have, raise your hand, made a sensory bin for your kids? They're great, right? But, you know, and then I was in this weird place where I was trying to make like 3, 4, 5 sensory bins, because they are the answers for the toddlers and preschoolers, right? But then here we went outside, and my oldest was collecting acorns in a wagon. And sticks and leaves and little rocks and pebbles. And you know what? There was the sensory bin right there.
Nature was the sensory bed.
Yeah, it was right there. And I thought, well, what in the world am I doing inside with all these little plastic, you know, acorns and the beans and whatever?
Oh, my gosh, the beans.
You remember the beans.
Oh, my. That's all I think of when you say sensory bins is the beans, because they are everywhere.
The rice was worse. You guys don't do the rice.
Oh, my gosh. You will never get the rice out of your carpets, out of your house. Like,
the cracks in the wood floor. They never, the vent.
Yeah.
They never came out.
It's a disaster.
Well, anyway, so there you go. I mean, I just started to question maybe our journey needed to look a little different
totally.
Than these like blogs that were telling me all the stuff to do. And so,
yeah,
anyway, that's how it started. That's how our journey started.
But that's what I love about homeschool is that you can totally tailor it to your own kids, to your own desired outcome, whatever you want it to look like. It can look like that. You know, it doesn't have to be real structured like a school, or if that's what you want, then go for that. But that was what was so cool about that conference, is that there was so many options out there, and it was like you really could choose, you know, how you want the education mm-hmm. to look, and how you want the kids to be able to grow, what you want them to be exposed to, what you don't want them to be exposed to. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was so great. And the other thing that was so eye-opening for me coming out of there was just the community of it. Like mm-hmm. I didn't realize there was as much of a community, and that was a very small town mm-hmm. that had this. And you know, you wouldn't think there was hardly anybody in that town that was doing homeschool in the first place,
but there wasn't.
Yeah. And there really wasn't that many, but there was a community already there.
Where we're at now, there's a huge community. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where we are right now is a huge community. And so it's like kind of night and day, but it's really great. And there's just a lot of options out there. So, you know, keep looking. If you have a spouse that's having a hard time getting on board, maybe they just don't have all the information, and they need a little bit more communication, and they need to see what's out there, see what's available. Cause I think anybody that truly looks at it with open eyes and sees all that's available, there's nothing to hate about it. You know, it's like you're in control of your kids' education. Like,
well, that's true whether they're in public, private, or homeschooled anyway.
True.
You're still responsible for them, you know, and you're still, you know, have to own up to what the, you know, we can't put everything on the teachers when we put them into school. So I think that, I think he even mentioned that at the conference too, is like, you know, they're still your kids and your responsibility that God has placed in your care. And so it's still up to you whether they're in public school, private school, or you're homeschooling them. It's still up to you.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Ooh, let's talk about dates.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Well,
I'm out the ooze here.
I know. One of my goals. Do you set goals?
Do I set goals? Oh, of course. I just don't write them down. They're just in my mind, and I can recall them at any point in time. No. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I have some general like trajectories I want to go on in the year. Okay. I don't know that it's like a hard and fast goal.
I'd love to hear about those at another time.
Well, yeah.
So I guess I did this huge goal uncovering thing this year. And so one of the things that I decided was that we were going to have a scheduled date every month. Part of that is because we're coming out of baby land. It's a special time, but it is always killer on our relationship. And so we're kind of excited when the baby can stay with a babysitter. Because, you know, here's the deal. We're those people. The baby that cries all the time in the kids' nursery at church. That's us.
For 3 hours.
We're so sorry.
Yeah. We're awful.
But what's funny is that wasn't us for our first two kids.
No.
Our first two kids were like, well, not maybe our second, but our first kid was like, we were going to the Garth Brooks concert.
I know.
At 6 weeks old. She was like 6 weeks old.
Well,
so
part of that was you had her so sleep trained that she would like go to bed at six.
And then the fourth baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's dun, been dun, dun.
Totally different.
It's just a different, you know, different.
Every,
it's just
every
different.
Child is different.
We're just,
you know,
so sorry. Yep. You know, every parent understands this. But so anyway, we're doing dates. And, you know, it's kind of funny because we've had this date was scheduled for January forever. We were so excited. David was playing out. I was going to go see him. It was going to be a fun night.
Yeah.
And well, I was going to be able to see him and then come right back home to feed the baby. But, but it was going to be fun. And then we got sick. So anyway, that would have been a good night for Date Box. Okay.
Yeah. So, you've been telling me about this, but I don't know that much about it.
Well, you, I don't know. You like order a box. I think you can do it every month, but I thought for the price of by the time you go out for dinner or a movie and you have to pay the sitter. I mean, we've got four kids, so that's astronomical right there.
Okay.
And but you can get a date box for the price of a babysitter. So I thought, well, we'll save the you know, money on the babysitter and get a date box 1 month and try it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely down to try it. Because don't they have like some different like movie night option or...
You know, I think they surprise you. I think that's half the fun.
Oh, they surprise you. Okay.
I think they send you your date in a box.
Okay.
Some cities do experiences, but see, like us for right now in our time, like with the kids and everything, like we don't want an experience that we don't know what time it's going to, you know, last, but you can do the ones that are at home. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I thought. Oh, we could do that anyway. So I think we might do it for February and we'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Because you know how February, everybody, it gets so packed because of Valentine's Day and whatever.
Yeah.
I thought we might do it for February so that we can avoid all the crowds.
Oh yeah. That's good. That's a good point. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll let you guys know.
And just for the record, we are not sponsored by Datebox.
I know, but it sounds like we're sponsored.
But this is not an
Datebox,
ad.
Datebox, if you'd like to sponsor us, you're welcome to.
Now we are just wanting to share a little bit of wisdom because we're trying this new thing. And
yeah. Well, tell them what we've done in the past. Like that 1 year we did like... we had to take turns planning the dates.
Yeah. So yeah, we've done that where we try to do, we've always tried to do at least one a month. And then
that never happened. Just so you know.
Yeah. We never hit once a month.
We aim.
Yeah. We aim for that. And then for a while there, it was like, I was always planning them and it was getting exhausting. So I was like, well, Kendra, how about you plan one, you know, and then she planned for a couple of months and I kept dropping the ball and she was like, all right, we need to do like either or. So now you're going to plan 1 month and I'll do next month.
Well, sometimes
and
we took
for
over
a while.
It did. It was fun.
Yeah. And then it kind of
we probably had a baby is what happened. Yeah. So, you know,
the usual mess
but
up.
Then there was 1 year that we did like free dates. We were like, you can plan a date. I think this might have been pre-kids.
Yeah, it could have been.
Or maybe we had one and she was a good with babysitters.
Yeah, we were trying to get creative.
And we went to like that Shakespeare in the Park.
That was fun.
That was so neat.
A good experience, yeah.
But there's probably like a website out there that we should look at, like free dates, you know, or
free
like free
ideas.
Community events, because that is always a really good place to start.
Yep,
that
that's
was
always
so much
a good
fun.
That
Shakespeare in the Park. We went ice skating one time.
Yeah, that
of course,
wasn't,
that's not free.
That one wasn't free, but you know, like when you live in a near a big town, there's usually stuff going on that you can, you know.
Yeah.
Step out and see live music somewhere, you know, or whatever.
We find that we have more fun if we do like local stuff.
Right.
There's more of a memory connected to it. So even if it's, we're going to go out to eat, which even nowadays, that's an amazing thing for us to enjoy together. Like
not
a meal.
Not have to cut up someone
not
else's
cutting
food.
Cutting up people's food. Yeah. But we try to do like a local restaurant just so that we can, I don't know, just experience more of our own community.
Yeah.
You know, our go-to is watching movies.
Yeah. We always watch movies or Netflix.
And, yeah. Whatever's on Netflix or a movie or something. Like, oh my gosh. We have to talk
lately.
We have to talk about Victoria.
Oh yes, we do.
Okay, you guys, if you are going to choose...
Hallelujah.
I'm not even going to try with my voice the way it is.
I know, yeah.
It's so good.
It's a great series.
Season two is out. It's PBS. Yep. It's Masterpiece.
Always good
but
on Masterpiece.
Season one, I think, is on Netflix.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so
yeah,
check out season one. So good.
That's great.
If that's your thing. But anyway.
Albert is very...
German.
I can't really do a German accent very good.
Yes, he was all about the...
I don't know how he says
and then
it, but it's funny.
This, schedules... What did he... Last night, and then he, like, drug out his S's.
Oh, he was, like, singing in German.
Oh, yeah, well, that.
He can sing, too. I'm
he
like,
can sing.
Dude, nice.
Go on a date. I think we're trying
free
to say.
Dates, pay dates, whatever. Okay, so... I wanted to talk to you a little bit and kind of interview you because one of the things I'm curious about, just as the guy who's not here all day every day, seeing what you guys are up to, is what are some of the routines that you guys have in place to help you kind of keep your sanity and to help you guys keep focused on the homeschool while you're here? I mean, like, how do you deal with that? How do you keep your routine going?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned before, I'm not very good with routine, but I'm finding that the more I have a routine in place, the just the easier our day is. And also, I feel a little bit like I just don't feel like I've had a successful day unless I've hit these certain things. And it's not like I'm trying to check things off a box or anything like that. It's just like, I think I feel really good when I feel like we have, quote unquote, done school, you know?
Yeah.
And so whatever you're defining as doing school, because we don't necessarily do a bunch of worksheets or what would maybe typically look like a typical public school day at home. So I had to kind of think about what I wanted that to look like for us and how to fit that into our day as a family. But then I felt like I started to notice, well, gee, whenever I read aloud to the kids, I feel like, hey,
yeah,
we did something today, you know?
Success. Yeah. But that's one of the things that I was going to ask you about is, do you feel like it helps the kids feel like they're more successful if you have a routine in place? Because part of it, I feel like when we don't have a routine, they get off and, you know, then they don't enjoy school as much. It becomes like a burden to them.
Well, yeah, there's definitely some ease that comes with having a routine.
Yeah.
Because it's more about just having like the norm, like the just, this is just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the arguments disappear because this is just what we do.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because what I really started with was, let's just have breakfast at the same time every day.
Mm.
And it doesn't even have to be the same time. For me, that worked because it helped me to just get in the routine of things.
Yeah.
But so that's where it started was we woke up, mommy got dressed and ready. The kids were getting dressed. We all made our beds and we went downstairs for breakfast.
But how did you come up with that rhythm? Was that something you sat down and thought about and wrote out like how you want it to look, and then you listed out the steps? Or like, what was your process to building that routine? Was it just like natural? You're watching the kids and said, we had a great day today. What did we do?
Like, yeah, I think it was more that, like, just observing what worked for us.
Gotcha.
So, you know, not everybody's day is going to look the same, but what worked for me at that time in my life was getting outside. And it was summer and we're in the South. So you can't really go outside in the afternoon. It's like scorcher. So getting outside in the morning is like key. And so I knew I had to start, we had to have breakfast by a certain time so we could get outside by a certain time.
Yep.
So that, you know, when the sun was out and just at its hottest, we were inside and doing the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it kind of started from there.
Yeah.
Plus, I was much more structured when I had only one and two kids. And I remembered, hey, that really worked well at that season in my life.
Yeah.
And so I tried to bring it up and mock that again.
Interesting.
Something about moving, and then maybe it was the third baby, I'm not sure, probably moving at the time, like threw a lot of things off. And so I just went back to what did work, what was working at that season in my life.
But I think that's a good point, though, because you were saying your routine may change and flex even with the seasons of life that you're in.
Well, I mentioned summer.
Well, yeah, summer too.
You know, because that's funny that you...
Yeah, the actual seasons.
The actual seasons. Let's talk about that for a minute, because see, now we're in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I find, especially January, February, where I'm at, I have to flip it and we actually have to have our outdoor time in the afternoon. So let me just walk you through like our general day and then I'll kind of explain how that might change in the seasons.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so we wake up, we get dressed, we make beds, and we have breakfast. We added in this school year, we add breakfast and Bible. And so for us, that means we're going through our Bible curriculum. We have two that we're rotating between, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what worked for us. We clean up, we do our chores, which is just unloading the dishwasher for the kids. And I kind of tidy up in the kitchen and do whatever, change a diaper, probably, you know, start a load of laundry, maybe. I don't know.
Yep.
And then we all go outside. We all go outside for a walk. And so babies are in the stroller, you know, they can do whatever. They can walk, they can ride their bike, scooter, whatever, but we're all outside. Once we finish our walk, then they play outside. And so we try to stay outside for an hour at least. Then we come in, we have maybe a snack. And at that time I'll choose to read aloud again just because they're busy and they'll have something to, you know, to look at. So snack transitions into what we call work time.
Mm.
And I found that to be a good word for us because it's, I don't like to call it school, because it's not really school. I was calling it lessons for a while, lesson time, but I wanted it to be associated with like, this is the time where we work hard.
Mm.
And so, I mean, I wish I could tell you like it goes for an hour or 2 hours. I have no idea. it ends when it does, or when the, you know, when the toddler starts running around or asking for more food or the baby starts crying and wants a nap. Like yeah. it kind of just ends.
Yep.
And then we just have to pick back up. So then, you know, it's lunch. And then one of the things that I find works really well is quiet time. Mm. And that's just when they have to be separate and they have to be in their own space doing yep. something that's quiet.
Yeah.
Reading a book, reading playing books. With the dollhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you even let them get on that Reading Eggs program, which is, that's been awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, what's interesting about all this that you're saying, you know, I feel like to someone from outside would look at that and be like, so they only do actual work for like maybe 45 minutes, half an hour to 45 minutes every day.
It does kind of sound like that, but no, that's so,
you
not
know,
true.
It kind of sounds bad, but like when you really think about what homeschooling is and everything you've listed out, it's like there's learning happening all day, you know, from getting up mm-hmm. and making your bed, that's learning disciplines and, yeah. you know, getting into good routines in your life. You're learning about the Bible and Jesus when you're eating. I mean,
I was realizing though, for us, we've always had a routine. It's looked different every year.
Yeah.
But I think what's working this year is that I've just tried to incorporate lessons or, you know, the school aspect of our life into our regular life. So yes. I was like, Bible and breakfast, you know,
yes,
I wanted to do that. Bible. I could never figure out when to stick it in. And so now we eat breakfast and while they're eating, I read the Bible or, like I said, whatever book we're in mm-hmm. for that. And then we're on our way. We pray and then it's the end. And so that's worked really well. It's just, we always eat breakfast. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our general, and especially during the nice months. And then what happens in the winter is sometimes I have to flip that and we have to do our outdoor time in the afternoon when it's a little warmer. Mm. But I will still let them go upstairs and play and be crazy and get all that energy out in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we still come down and have work time. Okay. And so at 3 o'clock, I was doing it at 4. But at 3 o'clock, we do blessing hour, and it doesn't really last an hour. I turn on a timer. We
that,
turn on loud
music.
Is
that
when
you bless everyone, or what is that? You like bless each child, put your hand upon
it's
their,
just a,
their head.
It's just like the way. It's just, I talk to them about it. It's like, you can be a blessing to our family by helping us clean up and straighten up, you know, for the day. And
nice.
So this is when we yeah. would go around and just pick up the stray toys. It was like their one last chore they had to do before they could go outside.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, we turn on loud music, you know, we might put away all the stray dishes and clean up all of our day
yeah.
so that
prep
I can
for Dee Dee. So we can turn on
yeah,
Dee Dee.
Yeah. Now it's prep for Dee Dee. Oh my gosh. You guys, the baby and the toddler every day. They wanted Dee Dee.
The novelty hasn't worn off yet.
Not yet.
They still
so
love
funny.
Dee Dee. Anyway.
So funny. And then you're
then
home and we have
and,
dinner.
Yeah. We move on to dinner and bedtime after that.
Bedtime. Don't ask me about bedtime. If
oh,
you have
boy.
A good bedtime routine,
send it like, on over.
We need help.
And on that note, send them to findingbeautifulhere@gmail.com.
That's right.
We have an email address. You can send us questions, comments, advice, whatever,
yes.
you know,
advice.
Yeah. If,
yes.
if we're
we
like, if
advice.
We sound awful, if the levels are off, if we're peaking, see my, most of my comments that I want are like audio driven, you know,
you
just tell me
don't.
How you're liking the show, you know, how are those levels? But no, Kendra wants
and
to.
And we just really appreciate the listens.
Oh, totally.
We're just so thankful.
Yes. Yeah.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you get a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll help get the word out a little bit more
yeah.
to everybody else.
If you've enjoyed it at all,
yeah.
leave a review.
Write us, write a review on there, rate it in stars.
Help other people find it.
Sure.
All right. Thanks you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time.
All right. Peace.